1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse 17, if you would follow along as I read. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his brother, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help me as I preach. Please give me your strength. Lord, please take what is said this morning and use it, what you've laid on my heart, to share with the folks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to speak on the subject, a good soldier. A good soldier. And as I read that story, I mentioned it before, the part that stands out first and foremost is right there in what verse are we looking at? In verse 18, where it says, And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain. And it's like you mentioned that 10 different kinds of cheeses. That's what stands out to me the most. I was thinking not too long ago I went to Shipshawana and got cheese because why else go? And just a week or so ago, I was digging in the refrigerator, and I found a chunk that I forgot was in there, and it was kind of fuzzy, and that was like the saddest day of the week. It's like I can't believe I had this cheese in here and I forgot it, Brother Sean, and I imagine in. You know, you're saying, well, you're crazy. If I would have been the one to say, hey, take these 10 cheeses, when I get there, it'd be like, go to the captain and say, oh, Captain, my dad sent like 7 cheeses to you, you know, because all 10 of them weren't going to make it there. But the idea that we know the story, it's very familiar. And where he goes and Goliath's out there and, as we just read, and we're going to look at several things as far as things that we as Christians, if we're going to be good soldiers, we need to have in our lives also. And we're going to look at those and to be a challenge to us in our walk with the Lord. As you know, our theme is to abound. And we all want to abound, but there's some things that we need to be aware of and to have in our lives if we're gonna abound. I know we've been talking about that quite a bit the last few weeks, the last several weeks, and I imagine throughout the year we'll be talking about it some more. But we're going to look at a few different things. First, we're going to see in verse 26. It says, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" What do we see here? We have awareness. Awareness. He was there and he was talking to the soldiers and he heard Goliath and he was aware of what was going on. He realized there was an enemy. And I imagine here in this situation, it wasn't realizing there was an enemy wasn't that hard. You know, he went out to see the battle. He knew there was an enemy. I mean, sometimes the enemy is very apparent. Sometimes realizing that there's an enemy is more covert. It's not as easy to see in our Christian lives. But we need to realize that there's an enemy out there and he wants to defeat us. He wants to destroy us. And I've said it, and I know other pastors said it many times, that he'd like nothing more than to destroy your life, destroy your family. He'd like nothing more to see you be one of those casualties in your Christian life. You know, one of those people that when people come to church and say, "Well, where's so and so?" Or maybe they visit, you know, they come in town once in a while and visit. "Hey, well, last time I was here, where's that one lady? Where's that one fella at?" I know, Mom and Dad just got back from Arizona, and they go down there with Brother Mike and they get down there and they see people that have been there over the last 5 years. Every time they go down there, that they're down there. And I know that's an encouragement to them, and as are my parents to the folks down there. And they enjoy spending time with each other, and they have meals afterwards, and they like to get together and spend time together. But he has awareness, and we need to be aware of what's going on and the fact that there's an enemy that wants to destroy us. You know, we need to be on guard. We need to be looking for it. You know, many times, you'll hear people say, "Well, they came out of nowhere." Well, they came out of nowhere, you know. And you know, the fact is, they didn't just poof, I'm here, punch in the nose. You know, they were there, you know, 2 seconds before, they were 30 feet away from you. You just weren't paying attention. But you know what? The devil's the same way. You know what? Are you looking for him? Are you guarding yourself? Or are you just going through life with I'm such a good Christian, that'll never happen to me. That's foolish thinking. We need to be aware, and we need to be looking and realizing that the devil wants to destroy you, and be on guard. But not only do we see an awareness in this story, we see a willingness. It was in verse 32, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." He had a willingness. We all know the story. He wasn't the biggest by far. I'm sure probably just about, they say he walked up there and they were going through the trench, and I'm sure just about all those soldiers that he saw probably were bigger guys than he was. And those fellows had training. They had their weapons. I'm sure they had their different whether it be shields or their helmets or all the different things that come with being a soldier. But you know what? They didn't have what David had was a willingness. What he had that can-do attitude. You know, it's like, well, which one of us is going out there, man? You know, let's go. You know, there's a challenge. Let's go. We'll take this guy. You know, everybody else had that defeated attitude, like, you know, there's no way, you know, how that guy's going to kill us. What are we going to do? But David, he had the, you know, hey, we can do it. He was willing to do what was expected. He was willing to do something that was bigger than himself. You know, do we have that willingness to take on, you know, to do what we need to do, what God expects us to do? Are we willing to do something that's bigger than we are? You know, there is, you know, as I've said many times, there are those watching you. There's that your children, maybe your nieces and nephews, they're watching you, or neighbors, folks you don't even realize that are watching you. They're watching to see what you're going to do. Do they see you, you know, trusting God? And yes, we all go through trials and the heartache and the heartbreak. But they're watching how you react to it. Do they see you as, you know, someone that, you know, when it's everyone else, is like, oh, don't worry, trust God. But then when it's you, you fall apart. And that is definitely one of those easy to say and hard to do. But I guess what we need to decide is, what are we going to do? And we say, well, I thought I'd be stronger, but I just fell apart. Or are we going to trust Him? Do we have a willingness to serve Him and a willingness to go forward for Him? Do we have a willingness to seek His will? We need to be willing to do whatever He has for us to do. Some preacher was quoted as saying, "Where He guides, He supplies," or something like that. And I might have just butchered it enough that I can just make it my own now. What, you got to change a few words and then before it's not plagiarism. But the idea that you know, are we willing to do His will? Are we willing to keep that short account with Him? Are we willing to is 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We need to be aware. We need to have a willingness, as we see that David had. And we see a preparedness. Verses 33 through 36. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." The idea that he had a preparedness. And he not only did he see the problem, but he was prepared to deal with it. You say, well, you know, he wasn't one of those soldiers that had, you know, all the shield and the helmet and the sword and all and the training and everything that went along with it. But no, God was preparing him when he was taking care of the sheep. God was preparing him when he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Without even knowing it, he was being prepared. You know, we see, you know what, that's how we prepare. How do we prepare? Through spending time in God's Word, in praying, in our devotions. We talked about that. We started talking about that Wednesday night. Being faithful to church. I heard it said that, I've heard this said, and it is true. I'm not just quoting somebody. The fact that when things are going well, you still need to go to church. You don't know what's coming around the corner. God might have for you in this sermon that one Sunday you get what you need for 2 weeks down the road. You know, things might be going well. No problems. Everything's smooth. But what you get in the sermon today might be something you need in a few weeks. What's God doing? He's preparing you. He knows what's coming. He knows what you'll be facing. You know, we've all seen those folks that they're not in church. You know, maybe they're real sporadic. And when do you see them? When they're starting to have a problem. And you know what? Turning to God is a good place to go. And I'm going to say, I'm not saying, you weren't here 2 weeks ago. Why are you here now? That's not what I'm saying. But it would have been better for them to be here every service, coming every week, when in the good times and the bad. In the good times, you can get what you need for the bad times. We see preparedness. And he was being prepared. Here he was. He fought the lion. He fought the bear. And he was being prepared. He was getting ready for this day long before, you know, it never even crossed his mind. I mean, I don't think he said, you know what, well, here, I'm going to fight this bear and a lion. You know, one of these days I might have to fight a giant, you know. That wasn't the case. We see preparedness. But not only that, in verse 37, we see boldness. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." See, he has a boldness. You know, that idea that, you know, and not a boldness of like, oh, I can do it. I don't need no one's help. No, he had a boldness that he could do it with God's help. And I was reading, I know, surprise, right? I was reading, and the author made a statement and said, "Oh, well, a preacher said that, you know, God won't give you more than he can handle." But you know what? That's, and he was making it kind of, putting a twist on it, not like, you know, making it wrong or anything. And he said, well, but the thing is, basically, the idea was, without God's help, you know, that maybe some preacher would say, well, without God's help, that might be the case. And the fact is like, no, that's not the case. It's with God's help. He says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The idea that we need God's help. If we're going to have the victory, we need God's help. And we can have that boldness, but not boldness in what I can do, but the fact that God can do it. And if God's leading you to do it, he can use you to accomplish it. But it's not you, it's him. What he's saying in verse 39, he says, David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, but for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. Why didn't he take the sword and the shield? He had never proved them. He wasn't versed with that stuff. We know he had his sling and the stones. Why did he have that? Because, you know, his weapon of choice as a shepherd. But the thing is, he'd also proved is the fact that God was with him. He knew that God was with him. He'd proved that he could trust God. And the more that we prove God, the more that we lean on Him and turn to Him for the strength that we need, the bolder we'll become is regarding to trusting Him. The bolder we will be to say, you know what, God's leading me to do this, and I can't do this on my own, but I know with His help I can do it. I know that, it's a big task, but with His help, it can be accomplished. And when we're facing the enemies, and we get, you know, Satan, if we try to fight Satan in our own power, we're going to lose. But we can have the victory with His help. We see boldness. Not only that, in verses 49 through 51, we see stick-to-itiveness. And at first I didn't say, you know what, I'm not going to use that as a point because I'm not even sure that's a word. And then it's like, then I punched it in the, you know, looked it up in the dictionary. Sure enough, it's in there. It's like, well, okay. And it's quite a word, but stick-to-itiveness. Keep fighting till you have the victory. You know, we see that David, he had that stick-to-itiveness. You know, we know the story, he took the sling and he hit the devil in the forehead. Oh, hit the devil. Hit the giant in the forehead, knocked him down. And the thing is, we'll see in verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. We see that he had that stick-to-itiveness. He kept fighting. And you see that it said he slew him, but you know what? That wasn't enough. He's going to cut his head off. You know, it's like, I don't know if David, you can imagine maybe he thought this. I don't know. It's like, hey, I might fight again. I might fight another giant, but I'm not fighting this giant again. And I believe it says he slew him, but he didn't have any sword. But he cut off his head. He took his head and his sword, as we see. But the thing is, we need to keep fighting till we get the victory. We need to have that stick-to-itiveness. Not just, fight it a little bit and then, you know what, down the road, fight that battle again. We can have the victory. But we have to have that stick-to-itiveness, if you will. But we see also in verse 52, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel fell down from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. You see that David, he kept going until he got the victory. But we see that the last one would be victorious, as we just read. He was victorious. And when we keep fighting and we trust the Lord and we've proved Him and we trust Him to give us the victory, and we keep going and we keep fighting, you know what? We'll end up victorious. As we see in these verses, it encouraged others around him. Remember at the beginning of the passage that we started reading, they were all afraid. Remember all those soldiers we were talking about? They were afraid. They didn't want to go fight him. I don't believe there was anything that kept any one of them from volunteering to do what David did. But they didn't. But now once David got the victory, what did it do? It encouraged the others. Well, see, they started chasing him. And not only that, we see that it not only encouraged them, it brought blessings. Well, they started chasing him, and then they started spoiling their tents. Well, see, to the victors come the spoils. And they got the victory, and they got the spoils. You know what? That might not have ever happened if it wasn't for David being willing and having those different characteristics. You know what? We can have the victory also. We can press forward and go forward and have the victory and be an encouragement. It can help bring boldness to us and say, you know what? I can't do it, but with God's help, we can. With God's help, you know what? This valley seems pretty dark, but you know what? With God's help, I can get through it. This battle, it seems insurmountable, but you know what? I'll just trust God and He'll help me. And not only that, it'll be it'll embolden you, and it'll be encouragement to you, but it'll be encouragement to those that are watching you too. And it'll bring blessings also. You know, maybe there's things in your life that you need to get the victory over, but you know what? If you get that victory, it'll be a blessing. It can be a blessing to your family. It can be a blessing to generations down the road. You know, a family gets, a couple gets saved, like my parents getting saved. If they wouldn't have gotten saved, who knows where we'd have been now. You know, that's just one story. That's a lot of families' stories. But we can be victorious. There's many, many things we can learn from the story of David and Goliath. Over the years, there's many things we have learned from junior church on up. But there's some characteristics that we see that we can take and we can use and we can apply to our lives to be the victorious Christian that God would have us to be.